Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we, as we come together, we know that your presence is with us. We, Lord, acknowledge, Lord, your goodness, your mercy, Lord. And we just, Lord, open our heart to your Holy Spirit right now to be able, Lord, to hear the word, to hear you speaking to us, to hear you ministering, Lord, to our needs. And we give you all the honor and the glory, for we know, Lord, that you always want to communicate to us and show us the truth. Help us, Lord, to have an open heart, to hear it and receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to continue on the temptations, the understanding that area, that is a very important one. Because it's not a problem of being tempted. It's the problem comes when we fall into temptations. And really, you know, the book of James talks a lot about that. And, you know, for us, we have to connect to that, understand how to apply those scriptures, and develop strategies on how we are going to deal with those things. There is no problem about being tempted. Everybody is tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's not sin being tempted. Okay. The point is, what we have to realize is that we have to understand that we need to know how to deal with those things in the proper way to be able to overcome. We know that the word says that we are not going to be tempted more than we can handle. God is not going to allow that to happen. Okay, so that put us in a position of confidence, if you want, the fact that we know that we are going to be able to handle it if we are, you know, with the right attitude, with the right mentality, with the right response to what's taking place. If we go really in the right way or resolving, but that means, you know, we have to know what the right way is. We have to know how to approach it. We have to develop our strategies, because the enemy has his own strategies, and they're what he's trying to do with us. So we have been talking about how temptation often comes, okay, in different way, but often when the way comes by, you know, we're going through a hard time in some areas. Some other time we are enticed by things that we desire and we want, and so it's not a hard time we go through. That's another type of temptation. I'm dealing here specifically when we go through a hard time, when we are suffering somewhere in a full way or type, and we are going to, you know, be attacked, and we have to respond to that. Okay, how we respond makes all the difference in the result we are going to get. And we start seeing last week that there are two types of these sufferings. Okay. One suffering is partaking in Christ's suffering, and the other thing is suffering because of the effect of the curse of the law that is on us. And so in both cases, you know, the strategy is completely different. The position you should have is different. And the result definitely are going to be, you know, depending on the way we respond to that. I want to just, summarize them, if you want, add a couple of thought to the one of the partakers of Christ's suffering, okay? It does not involve taking somebody else's suffering for their sins, okay? Like often is said in intercessory ministry, that's not scriptural, okay? Jesus paid for all the sins of everybody. We don't need to do that. We don't need to take anything from other people. Jesus has done it, and his partaking his suffering has nothing to do with that. Okay, as partaking his life involved instead, you know, the opposition and persecution that he received, and we are going to continue to receive as well, because he told us, because he prophesied about us, because he, explained that because we are his representative, and as his representative, we are going to have the same treatment that he got. Okay. The enemy is going to attack us just simply for that. And the more we are closest to him, and the more we are going to experience that. And there is no way to get out of that because we have to know how to deal it and how to respond to that. That's important for us to understand. Okay. The thing is, you know, that situation should not make us fear, should not make us discourage us, make us not give up, not lose faith. This is the important thing. That's what the enemy is trying to do. Okay, it's going to discourage you, to make you give up, and to lose faith. And so this is not. But if we, the way, the strategy there is really that we have to understand how to look at the situation. Okay. And the situation is, you know, is explained very clearly in many places, including in First Peter. You know, that the, you know, when that happens, we are not isolated. We are not, you know, God is not, has not left us. Actually, God has given us a special anointing to overcome if we are directed in that way. If we are, our attitude is that we are looking at things above and not below. If we are not looking at the situation, but we are looking at what God is doing through us. Okay. And so, you know, we should not look at the circumstances, but look at, you know, the way Jesus did it. He wasn't there, you know, and all joyful to go on the cross. But he, you know, realized that that was what needed to be done, and he was going through, not looking at what was happening in the physical, but looking at what was going to happen later on. That's what he said in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, that's what we had to do, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God today. So the idea is, you know, he looked at that, then look at what was going on at the moment. And he really went through everything, you know, protected and empowered by that thought. And that got him through in complete victory. Okay. So he, you know, was looking, okay, to complete the future glory that he was going to experience. And the fact that that was just a temporary thing. Okay. He was looking at things above and not things below on the earth. Okay. And not at the circumstances. And this is what we had to learn to do. Okay. Don't stay in the situation. Okay. Excuse me. Today I started. Yep. Anyway, verse 3 says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. So the idea is for us not to grow weary, not to give up, not to give in. Okay. So Jesus, okay, give us the example and give us the instruction concerning that. Okay. This is why, okay, we can learn by focusing on him, by realizing what he did. Okay. But, you know, at the same time, that was the only time in which, you know, on the cross, in which he went through what they were trying to do. The other time, all the time, he came out in victory, including when he was in Nazareth, they came to minister to there, and, you know, they were wanting to throw him down the cliff. And what he did, he just walked through them, untouched. Okay. Well, that wasn't the way that he had to go. That wasn't the way that God had planned. Okay. But he had power even in that situation, he was protected, he was empowered. But we can see that happen at their time. Okay, I mentioned last week Stephen, when he was stoned. Okay, evidently he wasn't suffering because he was beaming with the glory of God in him. That was a physical manifestation of that. And in those cases, there is always an impact, a result, a transference to others, because people around know, sense their glory, the glory, even if they do not realize what's going on. And that affects them. So Paul was the result, being saved was the result of that. The same glory shook him up. Okay, he was there. Okay, but that's not the only, you know, Paul and Silas, again, okay, they were in prison, in Philippi, beaten, bleeding on the back. And they were evidently in pain. And they were singing to the Lord at 12, late at night, 12 o'clock. And the whole prison could hear. They were in chain. And they were, you know, they know what was going on, happening the following day. And they were singing. And what happened? The glory came. Shook. An earthquake took place. Their chains were broken. They were able to go. What the result? All the family, all the jailer family got saved. See, the glory is manifested there all the time. But that wasn't the only time. Peter himself, okay, he was in prison, you know, by Herod in Acts chapter 12. And what happened? He was there. Evidently, he was praying, I believe. I didn't say that, but the point is, he was there in the prison. But what happened? The angels appeared to them, saying, broke the chain, it was in chain. So get up, let's go, put the stuff on. Go, we're going. And he walked through. All the guards and all the door was opening by themselves. That's the glory. Okay. This is, you know, the glory. John, you know, was the only one that didn't die martyr. And but they tried to kill him. They put him, you know, in Patmos, where put him in a boiling oil to get rid of him. He was pretty old already there. And they couldn't kill him. Pull him out, was just untouched. So they give up. Was untouched. Why? Because the glory was on him. So you see, that is a real thing. And has an impact. And I'm sure even in that case, doesn't say much of the detail, but, you know, in the Bible, but I'm sure that even when they pulled out John out of the you know, pail of oil there, quite a few people got saved. You cannot just do nothing or, you know, ignore a situation like that. Are you following me? See, that's the things that we had to realize, the things that we had to think about when we get that kind of treatment. And that's not that's not the whole story. It's going to be much more later. Okay? Eternally. So, okay, you don't need to protect yourself. God is your protector. God is your, you know, tower you go to and you find, you know, place that is secure for you. So that's the part we just, you know, I wanted just to emphasize the fact that there are many cases represented there and many cases that are actually happening these days too, I am sure. Now, the bottom line is don't fear men. Don't fear persecution. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Okay, that's the things that we had to remember. That's the thing that's going to enable us to be strong when we go through something like that. So, we should hold on our faith, and God will supernaturally minister and intervene. Let's move on to the second one, suffering from the curse of the law. Okay. Now, the people are in the world. They are all into that. They all had to go through that. But, you know, the enemy doesn't care too much anyway. He just produced lots of problems everywhere. Okay. But, you know, the ones that are born again, that are saved, okay, are actually saved from that. That's what salvation is all about. Okay. Salvation involves everything that comes from the curse of the law. I mean, when I talk about everything, I'm talking about forgiveness of our sins. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about prosperity. I'm talking about that the total amount of that is peace. Shalom. That's what it means. The shalom in, you know, we consider peace in English or French in a different way, but here is the way it was intended. Peace covered all the areas of your life so that you could have not just a quiet time, but you had, you know, a place in which you were standing in well-being and doing well. Okay. However, because we are still in this world, we are going to be exposed to things that are affecting us. For that reason, okay, everything that we receive, everything that we think, has to be by faith. So when there are things that are affecting us in any way that are in the list of the things that we can expect from God to give us, okay, then we should exercise our faith to receive. Okay. And we had to have the wisdom to know how to exercise our faith, understanding, okay, what, you know, we may put ourselves in that position for lack of wisdom. Because we, you know, end up being exposed one way or another, not knowing or unknowingly or not listening, you know, God. Those are possibilities that took place. Okay. We are in a world that we are exposed to lots of things, and so they can affect us. Okay. But we can also, you know, in some cases, have chosen the wrong thing because we had wrong ideas, wrong, the heart was areas in which was wrong and put us in a position that not wasn't good. So let's see some example, okay, of this type of temptation. For example, when we suffer for wanting or lacking something that we need or want. Okay, this is a position in which we are starting to feel uncomfortable and wanting to get something, and we are not getting it. Okay, so we how do we react to that situation? How do we respond to that? See, it's always a response to what's going on that is determining the way what we are going to get. Okay. So we can start trying to get, ask God, whatever, and nothing happens. So one of the responses lots of people do is start to blame God, they don't want to give it to them. Probably by the theory of their things, without realizing that God is generous in giving us things. And if we come short, it's us, not him. He is faithful. And if he promised something, and this is something he promised, I'm not talking about you ask something that is not in God's promises, something he promised, then we come short because of some reason or another, misunderstanding or some other things. Okay. So the first thing is not to do. concerning a strategy on how we handle situation. Don't blame God, because that's not going to help you. Absolutely, is going to do the opposite. The second one to do, thing to do is, okay, don't give up your faith. Don't give up, okay, not believing the word of God. Because that's not going to help you either. Okay, it's going to put you in a position in which you cannot see, receive. Okay, so two strategy already. Third strategy, don't believe your senses and what everybody else says. I'm kind of giving you the answer at the very end, but this is, you know, we have to understand why I'm saying these things so that you can actually apply them properly. Okay. The final thing, don't seek a lawful way to satisfy your need. Okay. Things that are not according to the word of God. That's important. Okay. If you need money, you don't go stealing just to get the money. Or you are not dishonest in the money area. You just make the things right in that particular area. So that is one type of things. And this is really, you know, if you want a strategy in terms of what you should not do, because this is really what put you more in problem than in any, you know, to solve the problem. Okay. Let's take another case. You know, when you suffer, you know, persecution for your faith. Okay. That really, okay, is the refer to what I was talking before. But, you know, the way you react, you're talking about it, you know, don't be tempted to retaliate. Never retaliate when people do something to you. Okay. And finally, there is when you are misunderstood or treated unfairly by other people. Okay. Again, there is don't retaliate, don't harbor unforgiveness and bitterness. Okay. These are the things that we had to remember. We had to avoid and fight all the temptation that comes about becoming bitter or becoming unforgiving toward others. Because that put you in the place of a problem. Okay. Now, there are many examples in the Bible on how to deal with those situations. Okay. For example, you know, one of the people that we should learn from is Abraham. Abraham, okay, is the father of all believers. We are called children of Abraham. Why? Because as Abraham, we had to exercise the faith, and he's our example to do and to do the things that need to be done. Okay. So that means that you know, we need to not to go, okay, by our own feelings. Ask God wisdom, okay. And one of the things not to ask God about these things, and never ask God, is why. See, when you ask why, you are going to, you know, put God on the spot and judging him. What you should ask is what I have to do. It's a completely different approach. Doesn't matter why. The why is immaterial. When the material is that when you have to, if they give you, it tells you the things to do, then you are going to resolve the situation. Are you following me? Okay. See, once you asked what, then you had to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit. Well, it says, if he tells you do this, you do that. Don't, remember, don't judge God. God is judging you in the way you're responding. Okay. If you remember Job, when did he get a breakthrough? when the angel said to him, you know, where were you to judge God about all this endless long list? And Job came to the realization that he wasn't in the place to judge what God was doing or what he was doing or what was happening. He just needed to trust God. And when he started to do that, the whole things turned around. And got 10 times better than it was before. Amen? So this is that, the question of judging, okay? Anybody, including God, put you in a place that you cannot receive. You want to be in a place in which you can receive, and the connection that makes you receive is God. God's connection. To be connected with Him. Okay. So what I suggest to you, you know, to see when if you are in a situation like that or whatever, you know, is to learn from Abraham. Meditate, okay, and study. And meditate, especially the life of Abraham. Okay. That's why, you know, children of God are called believers. Why? Because they believe. They walk by faith. And walking by faith is not the easy way out. See, that's the problem. Often people think that walking by faith is the easy way out. Walking by faith is the most difficult things that anybody can do. Because you go against your flesh. You go against your body. You go against your logic sometimes. And before you make some decision there, you have to have wisdom to make the right decision. You know, Jesus was sharing here a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, against the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearls, and who when he had found one pearl of great price, where he sold all that he had and bought it. You see, what he's telling us, what is to get in that place, we had to be willing, okay, to give up everything to get that. That means that connecting with the kingdom of heaven, which is actually a supernatural manifestation of the power of God that we are seeking to manifest, actually, you know, the spiritual result of what Jesus did in the physical. Okay. We had to give up everything. Okay. It's not, I'm going to get everything. That's nonsense teaching. That's the wrong teaching about the prosperity that we are going to get. Okay. We do these things for the joy that is set before us, for the glorious way that is expecting us. Then God, when we get to that place, then God rewards us. And He may reward us even beyond what we can ever imagine. But our position, to be able to see, really, to enter the kingdom, there is a price. To see the overcoming of the physical reality with the spiritual reality, there is a price. And this price is everything. If you realize it or not. It's not just making a quick decision. Say, oh, yes, okay. there is a big difference with the degree in which we had to come in contact with God to be able to manifest the kingdom down here. Now, let's go back to James, okay, and see what it says there. They should help us to understand what I'm giving you now, what I told you now. Okay. In James chapter 1, verse 2, says, okay, I can say this as a title of this, you know, tests or trials can either make you or break you. If you don't believe that, if you believe that it's all pink roses, you're really deceiving yourself. Okay. They'll make you if you overcome. Then you get the prize, as is explained in James. If you don't overcome, the tests actually are going to affect you in a negative way. So, it's important to see how you're going to go through the tests and what decisions you are making concerning them. Now, verse 2 of James chapter 1 says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience." Now, you know, that's the trial, you know, is or test, it's the same word that actually, that, you know, can be translated in different ways. It's periasmos, and actually means, you know, test showing what is in you. It's like when you take a substance and you do a test to see what the composition, what the compound is there. From, you know, you do a physical or chemical test for something. Okay, so essentially, okay, is to prove what is there. Tests are never enjoyable. Tests help you to see what is in your heart. They put your faith, okay, and your trust of God to test. They show your values, okay, and the values that need to be changed. It's like when you do a test, you know, for example, your blood test, they come out with all the different things and you see what is right and what is wrong. Are you following me? Okay, so they produce patience. Well, patience there is, I don't like the word the way it's put, patience, it's not just patience. The best way, so is opomonai. Which actually means endurance, which means not giving up. That's what they should produce, all right? So you said, you know, when you go through this stuff that you really don't like, that things are going to go the wrong way and you just are not enjoying it, why can't it all joy? Why? Because you are looking at something else, okay? Because you are developing your patience. I mean, you are developing your endurance. You are developing the ability to break through. Now, your attitude of counting it all joy is the critical element that determines, that reflects, that shows you where your heart is. I have to repeat that again. See, the ability or your attitude of counting it all joy, and you know that pretty well. I mean, I don't need to come and ask you, you know, if you're going through something and you are not counting it all joy, because it's pretty evident. You just feel it. It's not pleasant, and you are not counting it all joy, or you are counting it joy. Praise the Lord, you know, I'm going to get through. Why? Because you believe that you're going to get through, because you have faith. Are you following me? See, Abraham, let's go back to him, is the example of that. Not in the 40 years in which he was waiting for a child, but many years after, when God said to him, offer me your child, sacrifice your child. What did he say? Oh my goodness, you know, you gave it to me, took off of me 40 years, and now you're asking me to give it to you. That's what Abraham said? No. But Abraham started work, preparing himself to make the offering, and said, the Lord will provide. See, that was his attitude. That's the attitude that we should have all the time if you want to break through, if you want to overcome the temptation. See, are you following what I'm saying? You see, that becomes very clear. When we are not in that position, even if we think we have faith, we are fooling ourselves. I had to repeat that because I really think many don't understand that. If you don't feel that way, the way the Lord will provide, then you don't have the faith at the moment to stand off no matter what you think. Okay, that's the critical factor. That means, you know, the counted all joy is the indication, okay, not feeling sorry for yourself. No, I had to go through that, you know. No, there is counted all joy. See, that's the critical factor to break through. And if that doesn't happen, then you are going to be there for a long time. Doesn't sound too good, does it? But you know, it's the truth that makes you free, not what you want it to be. So you have to deal with reality, and when you are dealing in situations where you're not enjoying, you know, you better be true, not right in yourself. See, that's what we want. We have a certain idea, a certain theory, a certain approach, and we want God to do it according to our way, when instead God couldn't care less. God cannot change. So, that is the indication, okay? So this is why, you know, we had to learn from the people that came before us. We had to learn from Jesus, from Abraham, in all the different stories. You had to, if you had to read through those things and see what they went through to overcome. See, what Jesus did was enormous. Okay, he paid for the sins of everybody. But that wasn't the enjoyable, you know, things that he had to go through. It wasn't a, you know, a walk in the park. It was really something very difficult, and his flesh, you know, made him sweat blood for it. It wasn't just the physical thing that he went through, it was the spiritual things. He was going to be separated from the Father, things that never had been happening before, at least temporarily. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, you know, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance, or, you know, that's the same word there, but this is better translated here. Okay, the race that is set before us. So we have a race. We have, you know, running a race is not just a walk in the park. You just have to put everything you got inside. Okay, so this says, you know, that we had to set the race that's set before us. And then we do that. How we do that? The following verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you know, for the glory is set before him. So that's the thing, we had to look at the glory and we had to be focused there and we had to endure. Okay, the thing going through it. Now, okay. There is anything we can learn from the things we looked up to now? Good. I want to bring up from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Says something very important that should help us in developing the proper strategy when we are dealing with these things. Says there, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Now that is really a very important spiritual law that operates in us. It simply says what it says, okay? That when we want something, okay, and we hope for it, and we try to get it, we have expectation to get it, and we don't get it, our heart is affected. Our heart gets sick. Our heart gets weak. That means, you know, we are not going to, you know, our faith is not going to get stronger. It's going to get weaker. Unless we do something about it. Okay? So, the point is, how do you apply that principle to the situation you are in that you are fighting to overcome? Well, it depends on the situation. Different situations need to be dealt differently. If the situation you are in, okay, the more time you leave it there, it gets worse. Then, you know, the more time you are there waiting, you are going to have to overcome a bigger obstacle. If you don't have the faith to get the work now, are you thinking you're going to get it later? Now, if the things doesn't change, then it's pretty easy. Okay. You find the, see, you have to find what you can actually handle practically, not just go on a theory. Are you following me, what I'm saying? This is important, you know. If you... You have to make a decision how you're going to handle that situation. Okay. If the decision is made on your assumptions that are wrong, you're going to pay. You are not going to make it. You're going to fall. There is no way. Because God is not going to change from what he is now. People think that God is the one doing things. It's not God, it's you. You are responsible to listen to God and to do what God says. If you have not been listening to God up to this moment and you're dragging on, why do you think you're going to listen tomorrow? Now, the more time, the more pressure you're going to have on. All the time. But if you keep working on it, okay, you may be able to raise up to the level in which you listen to actually what God says. Because at the moment, you know, sometime you're going to, God has been speaking to that to you from the very beginning. But you have not been able to hear because you have an idea, a decision, an approach already established and you want God to work in your way. Otherwise, if you are believing what God says, it should happen instantaneously. I don't see Jesus waiting for 2 months to get the result. Or any other time, or 10 minutes. As a matter of fact. I mean, you have to look at the scripture for what they show, not for what you wanted to show or what we wanted to show, because, you know, we want to make a fairy tale of the Bible, but it's not. God does not change. So the people that have to change, it's us. And sometimes we find it very difficult to change. We are quiet today. Well, you know, if you don't think right, you're not going to win. It's the truth that sets you free, not fairy tale. So unless we deal with the proper thing according to the scripture, not according to our own idea or according to what theologian says, because the theologian said 10,000 different ideas, each person has their own idea. No. The truth is one truth. It's what God thinks. And what God thinks is going to work. Because He is faithful. Do you believe that God is faithful? So if He said something, what He said is going to happen. If it doesn't happen, it's not God. It's us. And so if we take responsibility of our failure of to receive at a certain time, then we have the probably the chance to make it, because we open up and listen and are willing to be changed in the way we think. See, that's why temptations are really such an important thing, because they reflect where we are spiritually in a certain area. That's why Jesus was tempted before he even started his ministry. He dealt with all the issues that involves dealing with God right there. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. I mean, just even simply pride of life. Pride of life, that's a good one. If you have an idea, a theory of the way it should happen, and we don't want to give up, that's pride. That actually is presumption. It's not faith, it's presumption. But we call it faith. I remember many years ago reading a book also, Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. And didn't quite understand everything, but now without reading the book, I know what he was meant. The experience of seeing what people do and the result you get, not just yourself, the others. Sometimes it's so much easier to look at other people and see what happens than to look at yourself and see and understand what happens. Because you are not committed to an idea. Are you following me? I mean, that can change everything in your walk, if you understand what I'm talking about today. Now, what happened, lots of people that start walking with God at the beginning, they're all enthusiastic, they're all, you know, in fire for God. Give more time. And the first love cool down. Why? Because they don't get the things they want. Because they, you know, God get to the place in which they have to change some ideas and they hold on to those ideas and they don't get it. And they're not that happy anymore. And they get jaded. And that can be so very bad. And that's why lots of people backslide. Because it doesn't work. Well, you are not working it. Wasp here. Yeah. That's the way you do with the devil. Amen? I thought that we got rid of them. But anyway. Okay, are you following what I'm saying? So the critical factor is really be able to hear the things that we have not been able to hear. And the reason is that we have some ideas that we really think they are right, and we don't want to give them up. We want to hold on to them. Okay. And so, the bottom line, the very moment in which you are not right, but aligned with God's thoughts, you get it. No effort by itself. It's not that you work for it. You just align yourself up with God's thoughts, with the truth. And the truth, what does it do? That's scripture, isn't it? So when things don't work, it's unbelief or it's not truth. Unbelief doesn't mean that you don't believe something. Believe something and possibly, you know, sounds really religious. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the idea is really, you know, let me continue with James. Okay. James, let me see. Did I just say? James chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay. Only if you overcome. It doesn't produce patience if you don't overcome. Okay. Testing of your faith produces patience or defeat, depending on the position of your heart. Okay. You need wisdom. And this is why I said afterwards, you know, seek wisdom and ask God who liberally gives. So, you know, listen carefully, because it's no use to be there, you know, fooling yourself. Okay, yeah. So, the testing of your faith show really what you really believe, and if it's the same thing as what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay, so that is really another side to consider. Okay, what is God saying? Okay, it's not God that is testing you. James is very clear about that. It's actually the enemy that tries to put you down, and God cannot do anything because he cannot be unfair. The enemy knows pretty well, and he knows that you won't get it. So this is what, okay? So the testing is not from God. The Holy Spirit wants you to have a listening ear. Okay, not a stubborn heart. The problem is we get stubborn and we do the same thing over and over and over again to try to get the result, when instead he's not doing the same thing. He said we have to be changed, because God doesn't change. Okay, so verse 5 of James chapter 4 says, "Oh, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you earns jealously?" See, God is not going to compromise at all. Okay, God is trying to teach. It's not God is going to, see, people say, "Oh, God is going to try to teach you something." No, no, no. It's nothing to do. God is not trying to teach you. That's not the only way. The way God is going to, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking into you to teach you something. You are in the situation that you need to hear it. That's all. God is not going to do. God is not involved in that. He is the one only. The only involvement God has in that is the fact that he's not going to you to be tempted more than you can handle. But you have to listen. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit is trying to direct you. He will not change his message with time. You have to change. You are listening. Otherwise, you get stuck, and you see, you better decide to hear. That means find out what's wrong with the things that you're believing. See, but says verse 6, okay, following in that verse, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, God resists the proud, we give grace to the humble. You see, our pride is the fact, oh, I know, I'm okay, I'm doing everything fine. Well, if you do everything fine, you should be getting the result. Otherwise, God is a liar. It's time. You know, just that if you hear the voice, you know, that's the time. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Sometimes God has sense of humor. All right. So, but he gives more grace, okay, to the humble. So you see, a question of not being proud, but humble, to be able to acknowledge that the problem is with you and that you are not receiving, not because God doesn't want to give it to you, but because there is a blockage in listening. Says there, okay, following verse. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your heart, you double-minded. So there are two problems here, okay, that you, okay, you had to cleanse your hand, your action, your decision, your things had to be changed, okay. And, you know, your heart, the judgment that you have, okay, cannot be double-minded. You have to be single-minded. You have to believe God. You have to follow what he's saying. Okay. Once to get Isaac for Abraham took him 40 years. Long time. There were things that need to be changed in him. He was trying, his faith was growing, evidently. He said, you know, look at the sun, look at the star, and kept talking and giving, you know, encounter with God until you got to the place to receive, 40 years. How much time took when God tell, offer my son, your son to me? No time. Okay. And he got the message, was clear, implemented, it was taking place, and was going to be finished. But he was open enough to listen, to obey, and he was open enough even to stop. He wasn't saying, oh, God told me that I had to, you know, offer my son, I'm going to do it, what are you telling me now? You know, no. He was open. He was listening. He wasn't proud because he had a certain idea before. Now I had to carry and finish and carry through. No, God says change, I'm changing. It's not a question of being stubborn. See, stubbornness is a hard, hardened heart. A soft heart changes the very moment when you realize I'm wrong. So that, you know, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself. And that's the key that I'm going to, yeah, you know, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Okay. That means, you know, he's going to give you the answer. We didn't take much for Jesus to be resurrected, did he? 3 days. And he had to do a lot of work there. He wasn't there doing nothing. You know, he was just there doing all the cleanup that needed to be done. But everything that had to do with that part of his ministry took almost very short time. I believe that when it should be the same for us when we need to receive something from God. We have to be able to clean up the ground, to be able to hear and make the decision accordingly. And we have to better make the decision before how to approach the whole thing. Because if we believe that we have faith. When we don't have it, we are going to fail. Presumption is not faith. Presumption is simply that one believes to have something or to be something when he's not. Now, if the situation is not critical, doesn't matter. But if the situation gets worse, then we have to think about twice the way we approach it. And we have to get help, if it's possible. Okay. So, how to overcome? Trust God. Listen to the Holy Spirit guidance and receive the reward. In is not your strength, is not your determination, is not your faith in yourself or confidence. It says humbleness, you know, is the opposite of I can do it. Humbleness is, tell me, I'm dependent. I can do only what I see your Father doing. That's what Jesus said. That's what Moses had. And that's why they got results. And didn't was for a long time. I mean, you know, they were at the Red Sea there. There was not much time to waste. The army was in the back, ready to kill them. Didn't take him much for him to open up. He put on the stick up and says, you know, watch the power of the Lord working. Are you following what I'm saying? This is very important because sometimes we get the funny ideas that, you know, we can tell God what to do. We don't need to tell God anything because he has done it already. What we need to do is we have to line up ourselves with God so that he's going to be able to do what he wants to do anyway, more than we do. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, not our abilities, our strength, our understanding. You know, trust in the Lord, not on your own understanding. Often, your understanding is the blockage. Because you know all the theory, you know all the theology about it, and you just do it your own way when you don't get any result. So your theology is wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm warning people not to be naive in their faith, but to be understanding of what the Word says, not what I say. This is not something that I'm cooked up because I have my own theology. It is something that the Word says all the time. And I didn't see myself many years ago. But I can see it, okay? Looking at the way sometimes people do things, that they don't work this way. That they don't understand what is involved. Did they have a fairy tale, magic image of the way Christianity works? It doesn't work that way. It's not magic. It's spiritual. It has to do with God, power, and laws that are always the same. This is why God is faithful. Otherwise, God is not going to be faithful for you. Or at least that's the way you are going to interpret, because that's why you get mad at God. Praise the Lord. See, it doesn't continue here. Okay. It's not your authority, not your ability, your strength, your understanding. That, you know, doesn't matter. They can be completely wrong. Okay. It says, oh, what are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone to shout off grace, grace to it. You see, it's the grace of God. It's the goodness of God. You don't deserve it. That means you don't get it because you are doing the work, because you are working harder. You get it because you are lined up with what he thinks. That's really simple. And that's why we have to understand that our experience should be our guide to know, do I have to change something in my life? Do I have to change some values? Some principles? So, go back to James chapter 1. Okay. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation. I mean, endureth now, you know, using the, no patience there. Okay, so endurance. When he has been approved, that means, you know, when he has been approved, that means he's, when he is lined up, when, you know, he's lining up with God, is the same thing, you know, the truth. He will receive, lambano, be able to take what he's asking for. He will receive the crown of life. The crown of life is less with the things, you know, the manifestation really, and the ability to operate on the spiritual dimension supernaturally with power. The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, the loving him more than loving the result you're getting, more than loving to be right. Loving that your ideas are right, and so the way, that's the way it has to be. That's when we get result. Now, faith is trusting God, not trusting your faith. And with that, I think I'm going to close. Are you following what I'm saying? What I said? Do you see how important that is that we often do not consider that things? See, we have to consider the elements that are important to get the result. And the only element that is important is our alignment, not what we want, not what we think. But alignment involves listening. Alignment involves changing. If we are not getting you, if you are not getting something, you must change. Not do more of what you were doing before. All right. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. We praise you and thank you, Lord. This is not the things that we think that we had to be right or whatever. We had to just, the key, the important issue here is to be able to be aligned with you and to be able to do only what we see you doing. To be able, Lord, to please you, because that's what is faith, is not believing in the thought that we have. Is believing in you as the author and finisher of our faith, in you as the source of the solution of our problems, on you as the one that is going to break any of the bondages and the limitation that we have, Lord, and turn around our experience to give us victory all the time, because your word says that you are faithful. And we acknowledge your faithfulness. We acknowledge your ability to set us free. And we have to be willing to be humble before you, to hear you and to change, to align ourselves with your thought, with your word, with the truth. And the truth make us free, not by our effort, but by the manifestation of your power and authority in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.